friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we wish to continue on this program and introduce an individual subject which we are going to entitle The Activities of the Child of God. Now I suppose that we'd feel a little more that it applied to us if we were to read this, Activities of the Christian. Well, the Christian is a child of God, and the reason that I have chosen this title for the subject which I wish to consider is because it applies to people in the Old Testament the same as it does to people in the New Testament, because we're going to be reading in the book of Isaiah. We're going to be reading in chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah for any on the air who would like to follow it from the scriptures. And we were going to read from there. Now, that will alert some of you to get your Bibles and understand this wonderful scripture that we're going to bring before us. So it applies, this is in the activities of the child of God, applies equally to Christians and people in the Old Testament, so we have termed it activities of the child of God. Now we're going to begin this with a very majestic description of God. In verse 26 of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, "Lift your eyes up on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bring out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Now here are the activities. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now we noticed here that these activities are applicable to the people of the Old Testament the same as to the New. Now, we are led to see that our strength is in the Lord. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The energy of the flesh is not in the picture here. This is the energy of the Spirit, depending upon the all-powerful God to lead us and guide us and empower us to do His will. And then we come to that pivotal conjunction, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Though they may be elderly people instead of youths, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What does this represent? I think it represents worship, and I'll tell you why in just a few moments. They shall run and not be weary. Well, what does this represent? It represents our service for the Lord. It should be done on a run. The Apostle Paul in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks about the Christian life as a race. It is run. And the runner is in dead earnest. There's so many things that fit the picture here that our work for the Lord is done in a hurry with the increased devotion that we have, all the strength that we have, and it attracts attention. And then, of course, we read, "They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, what does the word walk mean, represent? I think it means the everyday Christian life, or the everyday life of the child of God, as we've already distinguished. Now, please follow us in this, because these are pictures of what we read in the New Testament. This is developed in the New Testament. And we don't think of a walk as being exciting at all. I think the New Testament will tell us more about our walk than it talks about our service for the Lord. We did a series of meetings, or series of studies, rather, on this program, Bible Studies, about a number of years ago. And we took up the walk of a Christian, and we called it that in those days. We took up the walk of a Christian, and we had 10 broadcasts on the walk of a Christian. Our everyday lives? Are they exciting? Are they meaningful? They are most constructive and most necessary in our lives. But now let's go back and take the picture that Isaiah has given to us of these different activities. Now notice, please, first we read off, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. All right, this speaks of our worship, mounting up into the heavens in the presence of God. Have you ever noticed a bird, a soaring bird, eagles, hawks, and so forth? They soar and they don't move a wing, and yet they gain altitude. How can they do that? They don't flap their wings to keep up there. I'll tell you why. They are on an ascending warm current of air, and they're borne aloft. The air, rising air, is faster than if they were to fall in quiet air. Now, this speaks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, the word for spirit, whether it applies to the Holy Spirit or to our spirits, or even to the spirits of the unsaved, a spirit is spoken to be pneuma. And in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, the word pneuma means a current of air, that is, breath, or a breeze. All right? That ascending column of warm air is a breeze. And it speaks of the power of the Spirit of God to indite worship in our hearts. Now, that we're born aloft. I like this very much, and I trust that you will appreciate it too. I like this very much. We don't try to worship. We spread our wings, as it were, and let the warming current of the Spirit of God occupy us with Christ. And the result is worship. We wonder at the greatness of Christ. And it has been well said, when we cease to wonder, when we cease to wonder, we cease to worship. He indicts in our hearts the worship of the Lord Jesus by revealing Christ to us. We don't try to worship. We are born aloft. We can't help worshiping. And it's a wonderful experience to have. I think the word is much misunderstood. I think sometimes it's too often occupied or linked with a church building or a songbook or a prayer. Well, now, a prayer and a songbook may lead us to think of the greatness of God. And that certainly is worship. So I'm not finding fault with that. But in the deeper sense, it is the activity of the Spirit of God occupying us with Christ to the degree that we are led in wonder to just rise up like the eagle, and we're borne aloft by that ascending current. The Spirit gives us the power to worship. Now let's go to the subject of running. They shall run and not wait, and not grow weary. They shall run and not be weary. Now, all right, what does this mean? In the Old Testament especially, the servants oftentimes fulfilled the desire of their master by running to do it. Paul speaks of running in the New Testament. We have a master. He has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He reminds us that we are ambassadors. and he speaks of it as running. It's a total commitment. I'll tell you, if a person runs down the street, he attracts some attention. But if he walks down the street, he attracts very little attention. And that attention, given to our service for the Lord, requires total commitment. You're in it all together. And the Apostle Paul develops this so wonderfully in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And believe me, he was a runner. He gave all he had. But now what about the walk? Oh, that's not so exciting. It's our everyday lives. But as I said before, the Scripture talks so much about our walk. I'm going to mention a few of those. We are spoken of, as walking in faith in Romans 4 and 12. Walking according to our faith in the Lord. And that governs our pace. That's our daily experience. Faith, we never outlive it. It's not outmoded. Then we are told to walk in the newness of faith. Romans 6 and 4. In the newness of faith? Yes, faith generates worship toward God. It is done in faith. And it is the supplier of our energy to serve the Lord and to run, I may say. And it keeps us going in our daily walk. Romans also quotes in Paul. Paul says in chapter 13, verse 13, walk honestly. Then there's the walk by faith, not by sight. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, we walk by faith. We cannot walk by all that we see. The things that we see do not contribute to our walk. It's based on faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we walk by the Spirit. That's in Galatians 5 and 16. We're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit is indeed just committing our lives to the Spirit of God and doing His will. Now, this applies in the everyday life. People are watching us. We're told in Ephesians, for instance, to walk circumspectly. Circum is around. Circumference is around. Spectly is watching. Looking around. Who's watching us? Plenty of people are watching us. We're to walk circumspectly. Oh, there's so much in the New Testament about our walk. That which we think is not so exciting. But it is. And the life that is lived for God. In it, we pray. We read the Scriptures. We dispense love. We serve others. And all of this comes by, indeed, doing our work by faith and walking in the daily lives. I just trust that this will open up our minds to this wonderful verse in Isaiah 40 and 31. Shall I read it again? I will. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our Father, lead us into the truth of this wonderful verse. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.